Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. I want to welcome our visitors here tonight. This is your first time here. We're so glad that you're in the house tonight. I want to welcome Benny and Asia. So glad that you dropped in on us on a Wednesday night. And Beryl, won't you wave your hand? Sister Beryl, wave your hand. There you are. Sister Beryl got baptized in Jesus' name in Minnesota. And then she got transferred to Irondale, Alabama. And we're so delighted that she's here tonight. She has yet to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's going to happen not many days hence. She's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Well, it's been an excellent day. You want to be in prayer for Sister Wanda Henderson. She got a hip surgery today, had a hip replacement surgery. And we hope that helps a lot with her chronic pain. You want to be in prayer with her that she has a swift and a good recovery. Had an interesting thing develop today. Really sweet. I think it's going to come together. Had a lady call from Ohio, and her mom is at UAB, and she and another sibling are from Tuskegee, and they're up here since Christmas. The mom had a stroke, and the daughter is staying with her, not letting her be by herself. Well, the other sister from Ohio called and asked if we'd go by and have some prayer, and I was happy to do that. And so we went by there today and had some prayer. And I'm thinking, okay, she doesn't want to leave the hospital because she doesn't want to leave her mom, so we need to get her hooked up in a Bible study. So after I left there, I went down the way and went and had some prayer with Sister Cynthia and visited with her for a while. And Sister Cynthia was sitting up in her chair, and she's got her trach plug now, and she's a talking machine. She's just talking. She's making up for months of not being able to talk at all. So she's talking. And I said, Sister Cynthia, how would you like to teach a home Bible study? She said, well, I would like that. And I said, well, I've got a lady down here down the hall who might come down the hall to have a Bible study. She won't leave the hospital. But I'm thinking Sister Cynthia may be teaching a Bible study here by the end of the week. I'm just saying. At any rate, there's some very nice doors that are opening. I felt a lot of spiritual dynamic moving in the house this past Sunday. And I've seen the evidence of that thus far during the week, an openness in people, and open doors to talk to folks. And I mean, we do the work all the time anyway, but it just seems like there's this openness right now. So this is a harvest season, and we're looking forward to Brother Young being here this weekend. Friday evening, he's here for a youth revival, and then Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're going to have great revival with Brother Miles Young. Now this Friday at 7 is the Alabama Youth Revival Conference, but you don't have to be technically young to come. You can come and enjoy. Brother Miles Young is an excellent preacher. You'll enjoy yourself. And then after the service, there's a YMCA after event, and our teenagers are going to be gathering there. The cover charge is $5, and you need to get that before Friday, before service. And the parents that have kids in those services or in that YMCA fellowship need to pick them up at 12:45 a.m. So there you go. Aren't you glad to have teenagers that you have to be a taxi for at 12:45? After church this Sunday night, the Bible quizzers are having a jambalaya dinner after service, and you want to sign up for that in the foyer. Everybody ought to eat jambalaya. It's wonderful. It's what the children of Israel ate in the wilderness. Manna just simply means, what is it? And they didn't know. I've seen a lot of people that have seen jambalaya and said, what is it? but it's wonderful. That's what it is. So you want to line up for the jambalaya dinner on Sunday night. Also, Sunday night will be formally taking pledges for Sister Amber, and she'll be going back to Guatemala to administer that orphanage in the middle of, or maybe the first couple of weeks of February. And so we want to take care of making pledges and commitments to her this Sunday night. So you be prayerfully considering that. And everyone said, praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue tonight with a study in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll pick up where we left off on Sunday evening. And we'll read a couple of verses here, 6, 13, and 14. Ephesians 6, 13, and 14. Paul has told us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's admonishing us to take on the whole armor of God. And so here in 6, 13, and 14, we go further in this discussion. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And everyone said, amen. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give him thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God. We praise you, mighty God. We lift you up. Would the ushers just come by with the offering as we get started with the lesson tonight? Just go right ahead and let's take up an offering. And this is really strange and bizarre behavior, because you're supposed to have music and singing while you're taking up the offering, but we're not. We're going to do this instead. Everyone say, praise the Lord. Got a text from a backslider today who wants to come back to church, and I just told him, you just got to come. It won't be any better if you wait a week or a month. It may be significantly worse. And so you need to come on back to the house of God. So I think something's moving in the city, and I believe God's drawing and calling people right now. Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So Paul says we are engaged in a spiritual warfare, and we are wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We look above the natural presentation before us, and we understand that spiritual things are primary, and so our approach has to be spiritual. Our answers have to be spiritual. Our strength has to be a spiritual strength. And so we seek after God in his word and in prayer, and we find our way into a place of spiritual strength, never mistaking natural strength for something that gives us advantage in the realm of the spirit, because your natural strength never will gauge how strong you are in the spirit. Praise God. He says, now, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Everyone say, stand therefore. And we've put emphasis here in this discussion on the idea of personal will and cognizant choice, and the fact that everything you do in the kingdom of God is not some mysterious thing that God has done. I want to tell you tonight, God has already done everything God is going to do. God has already poured out the Holy Ghost. If you have it, it's because you appropriated it to yourself. If you don't have it, it's because you haven't come there yet. But you understand that the Holy Ghost is already given, and everything that's going to be in the Holy Ghost is already in the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is already given, and everything that's going to be in the Word of God is already in the Word of God. The power of Calvary has already been established, and everything that's going to be in a drop of the blood of Jesus from Calvary is already there. God's not changing anything that he's already done. He's waiting for mankind. The doors are open. The invitation has gone forth. Whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. I'll tell you, you can be as great in the kingdom of God as you purpose in your heart to be. You can have as much of God as you purpose to have. Everything God's going to do is already done. Now the difference is the exercise of human will and the exercise of human choice. I'll tell you, in this house tonight, your freedom of will and freedom of choice is a greater factor in this equation of your experience in God than the mercy of God. Your personal will is greater than the grace of God. Your exercise of will is greater than the love of God. You say, well, how can that be? Because you by will can turn away from the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And he will not make you serve him, because everything in the kingdom swings on the hinge of free moral agency and choice. And so Paul's admonition is, here it is. Having done all to stand, make up your mind and stand. Get yourself rooted in the things of God and stand. Stop playing games and stand. Stop worrying about what happened 10 years ago and stand. Stop listening to the devil about all your failures and all the corruption in your life and times past, and just stand. If you will simply stand, God will have a platform to work. He's just looking for somebody that'll say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I hear all the noise. I hear all the detractors. I hear the devil. I hear the demonic voices, but I'm just going to stand and say yes to God. I'm going to stand and say God is able. I'm going to stand and say God is good. I'm going to stand and say, in the midst of my trouble, God is still God. God above all, he's a creator of all things. He's the giver of life. He's the miracle worker. He's a way maker. What do you need tonight? What do you need tonight? He is the I am that I am. That's a ubiquitous offering of God. He is everything you'll ever need him to be. He's anything a man could imagine him to be. What's your job? Just stand. Stand for God. Stand for the word of. Stand in this promise of God. And then Paul begins to give us specifics that have to do with this armor of God. He said, I want you to be clothed with the whole armor of God. And so he begins with truth. And he says, I want you to have your loins girt up with truth. Everyone say truth. Praise God. Now, that very utterance is something that's resisted by our world. The very utterance of truth is something that the philosopher would begin to say, oh, well, young student, you must understand that truth is a relative term, and what may be true for one man is not for another, and what may be true in one culture is not for another. But you know, all of that is in the mind of a man. But if you drop an object from a certain height, the rate of descent of that object is going to be the same. The tensile strength of metal, the basic qualities of life at sea level, atmospheric conditions, physics, chemistry, math, they're all the same. They do not change. It's only when you get in the philosophical workings of a man's mind that he perceives that maybe things are not. And what it is man is still walking away from God in the garden and suggesting that there is an alternative to God and to God's word. That's what the devil meant when he said, hath God said. To Adam, he said, hath God said. To Eve, he said, hath God said. And what he's suggesting is that there is an alternative to the word of God. What he's suggesting is that there is nothing absolute. But I thank God tonight that there are absolutes. I thank God tonight that when God says it, it's the truth and you can stand upon it. Has anybody found God's word to be true? The very utterance or the concept of truth presupposes that there is a truth and everything else is a lie. The word of God fleshes that out and says, let God be true and every man a liar. You don't want to be standing in the place of lie, because the devil is the father of lies, and hence we know that we are in the vanguard, in the family, in the entourage of hell if we walk in lies. So we want to walk in truth. But it presupposes that everything else is not true. And that's why the world is so resistant to it, because the world does not want to ever say that anybody is wrong. They just want to say that's another style, or that's another culture, or that's another. That's that pluralistic lifestyle that we have come to see in our culture. But what it is the continued retreat from the things of God. It's mankind continually retreating from God. Because when you do business with God, God is sure. God is certain. God's word is forever established in the heavens. God never changes. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. This is what I'm telling you tonight is truth. God is truth. His word is truth. His ways are truth. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you're glad to serve an absolute God, give him praise tonight and bless his name. Praise God. So we don't want to retreat from the truth or the idea of the truth of God. We want to embrace the truth of God and find the truth. I remember when I first came to church, I was a little bit bemused by our elders, because one of the most common testimonies among the elders, they would just stand and hold up an old gnarled hand and say, I thank God for the truth. And they'd sit down. And it was like, yeah, me too. But I was young at this, and I didn't understand really what all that meant. But what they meant was they had walked this. They had been through the fire. They had been through the flood. They had found God faithful in every season of life. And they were able to say, I thank God for the truth, because I've tried it and I've seen it and I've walked with it and I've seen it in every season of life and it never fails. And they would say, I thank God for the truth. This year we'll be living for God for 40 years. And it's amazing to me that I'm a grizzled old, and I lift up my gnarly hands and say, I thank God for the truth. You know, It's really neat that that begins to happen. But if you're glad for the truth tonight, clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify God. I'm glad to be in the truth. And, okay, we love everybody. We don't love the devil, but we love people. And because someone is wrong or they are a sinner, and you see the way that Jesus operates, he always has an open door for a Magdalene and for a legion and for those that are just so overcome and overwhelmed by sin, because that's why he came. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. But he didn't have much tolerance for the Pharisees, because yet they were sinners, yet they didn't recognize their sin. They weren't humble. They weren't contrite. And the sacrifices that are pleasing to God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And so God always has room for others. We love everybody, but we don't change the truth. If you're in deep sin tonight, we love you. God loves you. Well, then you ought to let me in just like I am. Oh, you can come in just like you are, but you can't stay the way you are. Because when you meet truth, something has to give, and truth doesn't change. When you meet God, something has to break, and God doesn't break. When you come to God, something has to conform, and God doesn't conform to anything. That's why he said you're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the world, because salt changes everything, and nothing changes salt. And that's what you're called to be. You're called to stand in truth. Praise God. He says, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, that's an interesting phrase. It comes from the Old Testament, and it is a phrase that had to do with men at work, at war, on a fishing vessel. When men would go to work, men would gird up their loins. What that meant was the men had a breach in their robes, and they would gather up the fabric of their long robes. They had a break in their robe to give them room, because when you got to fight, man, you got to have room to fight. If you're going to work, and if it was serious fighting or serious working, the phrase throughout the Old Testament was gird up your loins. That meant you take the robe and tie it up. And so you're ready. You can move unencumbered. Unencumbered. You can move. You can fight. You can farm. You can fish. You can do whatever you've got to do. And so gird up your loins then becomes a metaphor for get ready. Be prepared. Get yourself ready. Now, ladies never did gird up their loins, because it was a shame for a woman to reveal her thigh. And the ladies did not have a breech in their garment, so they could not gird up. it was improper, it was immodest for them to gird up their loins. They weren't going to war. I know we send ladies to war, but not in God's book, not in God's economy. I know we send ladies to work, but not in God's book, not in God's economy. I'm not trying to cause you grief or trouble. I'm just telling you that's where this comes from, and it never, never, never applied to women. Okay, so by the time you get to the New Testament, Paul says, gird up the loins of your mind. What is he just says, get your mind prepared. Get yourself fixed and ready. An interesting extension on this conversation is that by the time you get to middle age and middle Europe, the breech in the garment has become what the old English calls breeches, because it has a breech. Later, then, it's called breeches. And breeches were unique to men, not to ladies, because the ladies never had a breech, nor did they wear breeches, nor did they wear breeches. Hence the saying, which is axiomatic, and everybody knows it, who wears the pants in your family? What does that mean? What does that mean? Sorry, speak up. Who has authority in your family? Who wears the pants in your family? It means who has authority in your family, because it's associated with the man, the breadwinner, and the authority in the house. It is axiomatic. It doesn't mean anything today because the cultural fashion of our day allows for men and women to wear pants or something with a breech, but it's not that way in the Word of God. There's always a distinction in male apparel and female apparel in the Word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm going by the way of Detroit to get here tonight. Gird up the loins with truth. Gird up the loins of your mind. Brother Terrell is not in the house right now, but Sister Deborah is here. When you lay your hand on a Bible in a court of justice, what is the phrase that is demanded of you? Huh? Be loud. Can you be loud? She said they demand of you on a Bible, and you know that's weird. Do they still use Bibles in a courtroom? No? It's going to offend some Islamic person. You know, that's retreating from truth. It's going to offend somebody that doesn't believe the Bible, even though the Supreme Court has the Word of God engraved in stone over its head. Well, they'll take care of that as soon as they can. But everybody say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what will save you. That's what will redeem you. That's what will change your mind to be like God's mind. That's what will repair your relationships. That's what will repair your household. That's what may bring healing to your body. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Is there anybody here that would like the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You got to consider that, but would you really like to have the whole truth tonight? Praise God. Now, some of you were just not responsive to that question at all. And I understand your reticence. I understand your reticence because the whole truth has to do with all my failings and all my problems and all my dysfunction and everything that's wrong with me. And well, here's the ticket. You do want the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The good news is we don't get what we deserve. When God holds us up next to his word, we're all in trouble. But grace covers us, and the blood covers us, and mercy covers us, and all he can see is his sacrifice, and he makes a way for us. And I'm glad about that tonight. We don't get what we deserve. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a good thing we don't get what we deserve. Now, a couple of things about having your loins girded with truth, or having that armor. When Paul is creating that metaphor and that mental image for his audience here, all of the people here are familiar with Greek soldiers, and they're all familiar with Roman soldiers. And Greek and Roman soldiers had essentially the same armor. And what they wore was like a little skirt of metal or wood that was made of runners of metal or runners of wood, and it was all leathered together or stitched together, and it protected your area between your knee and your waist. And one of the things it protects there is the fact of your femoral arteries, because if you're in a sword fight, which they used, and a spear fight, which they used, or a knife fight, which they used, all of which are designed to cut flesh. And it was brutal and wicked warfare. But one thing they could do that would put you down and out and not coming back in about 20 seconds was to slice your femoral artery, and you bleed out and you lose strength. And in just about a minute, you're dead. You're gone. You're bled out. And there's not a thing in the world to do about that. You can't put pressure on it. You can't stop it. It's where if you go to the mortuary tonight, that's where the mortician will cut you to drain all of your life flow and fill you up with whatever they fill you up with. So that's where they do that. What a unpleasant conversation to have tonight. But so you have a vested interest in protecting that. And so Paul tells you, you are very, very vulnerable in some areas, but the truth will keep you. The truth will protect you. It'll be like armor in your life, and you don't need to be afraid of the truth, and you don't need to run from it, and you don't need to try to edit it or change the truth. You just need to let the light of God's truth shine down in your life and reveal everything that's not like God so that you can get about the business of becoming like God and fulfilling the will of God. Another thing that is really, really important about the truth, if it's like that piece of armor that the Greeks and the Romans wore, it is also protecting you in your reproductive capacity. It protects you, and that's a very important thing. And everyone said amen. Amen. Because it's a terrible thing to come home from battle, and you've won the battle, but you've lost your capacity to produce a family. And that could happen in a war with spears and knives and swords. And so every manly warrior was very, very concerned about protecting their reproductive capacity. And Paul's teaching, though, not a violent physical warfare. He's teaching a spiritual warfare. So then what do we, as the people of God, what do we reproduce in the kingdom of God? We reproduce ourselves. We are sons and daughters of the King. We reproduce sons and daughters of the King. I'll tell you this, without truth in your life, you cannot reproduce the kingdom of God. A variation on the truth, a compromise on the truth, a retreat from the truth cannot produce sons and daughters in the kingdom. You may produce something. You may produce a lot of some things, but it won't be the kingdom of God. And so truth then protects. You need to be able to stand with somebody that was an apostolic 100 years ago. And there'll be a lot of things that are different in your lives. But the areas of the Word of God and truth should not be changed at all. The name of God is still the mighty name of Jesus. The way to baptize is still in that name and that name alone. The Holy Ghost is still real. And when you get it, you talk in tongues just like they did in the Bible. The Word of God is the last word. It is the infallible word of God forever settled in the heavens. You can't reproduce truth from error. Praise God. So then those people that prayed with me and helped me and brought me into the kingdom of God, they had a responsibility to God and to me. They had a responsibility to the truth so that when I came in that church, they were still preaching what would have been understood and recognized, except for a difference in language, 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, in the streets of Samaria, at the house of Cornelius, in Ephesus, wherever those apostles went, they preached the same gospel. Peter opened the book on the day of Pentecost and said, "Repent." And so repentance has to be preached. That's the truth. You can't stay the way you are. You have to turn around and become a different man, a different woman. He taught baptism in the name of Jesus. All of the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus. They all baptized by immersion. No one was sprinkled in the Bible, and nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You can't find one, because that didn't start until the Roman Catholic Church 300 years after the apostles. And so it is not truth to offer someone something other than what the Word of God has said. I've got a Bible study going on Tuesday nights. I'm teaching a nice Catholic family. It's a lot of fun. They're a nice Mexican family. Most of them have received the Holy Ghost right there in that Bible study. And we're still working on that. But the kids, the teenagers in that study keep asking questions about myths and lores and this and that and popular culture and if this is right or if that is right. And finally, the dad begins to echo what I've been saying all along. I just tell them, all I know is the Word of God. All I can give you is the Word of God. I can't tell you anything about, I don't know about that. And a lot of what I'm answering is questions about Roman mythology and about the Virgin of Guadalupe and about different types of characters in the all of the discussion that goes with Roman Catholicism. Well, I don't know anything about all of that. All I know is chapter in verse, I can show you what the Word of God has to say. And so finally, Pedro's just saying, oh, he doesn't know about that. He just knows the Word of God. He doesn't know about that. He just knows the Bible. Well, I'm glad that that's happening in that Bible study, because that's all I want to know. Paul got this way with a crowd he was teaching in the New Testament. He said, I'm glad I don't know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want to know. I may not know about the NBA, but I want to know about the Word of God. I may not know about the NFL or who's going to play in the Super Bowl, but I want to know about the Word of God. I may not know about political issues or sociocultural issues. I may not have the answer to the economy that we're facing right now, but I will tell you that I believe every answer is in the good book, the Word of the Living God. And that's all I want to know. That is the truth. Gird your loins with truth. It'll keep you alive. It'll keep you safe. And it'll cause you to reproduce yourself in the kingdom of God. We got a lot of kids. And we got a lot of kids over in quizzing right now. We've got a lot of young people in classes. We've got a lot of children around this. Wasn't it powerful Sunday night to see them receiving their trophies and their ribbons and their medals for Bible quizzing because they have memorized over 200 verses in the Word of God? I'm telling you, that is just absolutely powerful business. And there is nothing like that. We have a charge. One generation shall praise thy name to another, shall declare him to another. It is our duty, and you could talk about it in several different ways, but one of the primary things we have as our calling before God is to pass this on to children, not diluted, not edited, not changed, but as it is and as it was in the Word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. I tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to come down around the altar and come with your family tonight. If you don't have family, adopt somebody. Come on down. We're going to come down and pray with one another for a moment, and then we're going to go next door and have some nice fellowship. And Sister Shirley Corey has made baked ziti tonight. It smells great outside. It smells great inside the house over there. It's going to be wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Find yourself some family tonight and knit up with them. Just link arms, lay hands on one another. Let's just begin to pray. God, teach us your truth. God, show us your ways. God, make it known to us. Help us to stand in your truth. Help us to stand in the Word of God. Praise God. You may just want to thank him because he's given you truth. You may just want to praise him because of all the people in the world tonight, you're handling the truth of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh God, who are we that you've opened up your book to us tonight? We pray, God, that you would just bless each of these with a great understanding of your word. Help us all, God, to draw close to you by truth, to walk before you by truth, to live for you by truth, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name above every name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. By the name above every name.